Katie Hunter for MMA UK. I'm here with Scott Butters. Welcome.
Hi, Katie.
Scott, great to finally get to interview you. I've tried a couple of times and I'm glad we've managed to make it work today, because you've got an amazing fight coming up with Richard Mearns on Contenders on the 28th of September. Tell us, there's a few shows with the Contenders name, both here and across the pond. Tell us about this promotion.
So Contenders is from Norwich. It's one of the only shows in the region that has a full mix of all the combat sports, so boxing, K1, and MMA, all in the 30-foot professional cage. They've got the main Contenders. They're also now doing the Road to Contenders again, which is just a full amateur show with some of the best up and coming amateurs, but also guys that have never fought before, looking to do their first show and things like that. And then in February next year, they're branching out and they're having their first show out in Orlando in Florida. So they're looking to take things aboard and some really big things happening out there. They've got like guys that scout for UFC, they're going to have them there and everything like that. So it's chance for some of the guys from over here possibly that wouldn't usually get a chance to fight out there to go out and show people what they're really made of. So I think Contenders are going to look to become one of the really big names in the UK and really help fighters get their name out there.
That's huge. Would you be up for fighting out in the States?
I'd love to. It all depends on timings and things like that. Obviously, with a family, a missus and two kids, I've got to put them first. It's probably the only time I do put them first, because obviously being a fighter, it is pretty selfish. You've got to do what's right for you. But without the missus, I wouldn't be able to do half of what I do. She's the one that's got the kids all the time and does anything she can to help me chase my dream, really. So
big shout out to her.
Yeah, massive shout out to Danny.
So tell us about this fight, because he's obviously another big name, and I will say that you never take easy fights, Scott.
No. Obviously Richard and Tom, two big names, both doing really good things. The same, Richard hasn't taken any easy fights as well. If you look back at, I think, 2-3 fights ago, he fought Terry Doyle, and Terry Doyle's been around. He's a pretty big name as well. For me, I'm 31 now. I'm under no illusion that I'm not in this for like another 10 years and things like that. I'd love to do this as long as I can, but
yeah,
I want to test myself. I want to be in there with the best people I can at the time. So as soon as his name came up, I was like, yeah, why not? And I'm finally making the move down to featherweight as well. It's been a long time coming. It should have happened a long time ago, but the donuts just take over.
So you were thinking of moving to featherweight a while ago. I know your last fight was against Craig Edwards at lightweight. You were asking for a featherweight fight then, but I just don't think there were that many options available to you. So you took the fight at lightweight.
Yeah, there was the one option, and that was Emra. And I was like, that's a step too far for my first fight at featherweight as well. The guy's a beast. When that came up as well, it was like, well, yeah, Craig's we had our fight at amateur.
Yeah.
I beat him. Fight by no way went the way I was expecting. I made it through the first round and managed to get the submission in the second. Mm-hmm. As soon as that came up, it was like, yeah, let's go for that. Let's take that. I knew I was small for lightweight. But then when you see the pictures of me standing next to Craig in the cage, that said it all, really.
I remember when Jack told me he fought at lightweight. I just assumed he was a welterweight up until that point, and the next yes. time he's in the gym, he and says it, to me, still oh, Katie, how do you think I'm fat? And I was like, no, the opposite. I don't know where it comes off from.
He's fought at welter as well, and he still looked big at welterweight. But yeah, fair play to Craig, like, to maintain his body and get down to that weight. I'd hate to think what his weight cuts must be like, but yeah, fair play to him. I said it before and I'll say it again, he's an animal, but he's so respectful as well. I've got a lot of time for Craig.
Yeah. And the move down to featherweight you're doing with the help of Dean Kirk, who I know quite well, with your nutrition. So has he brought any new ideas to the table? I know he's working with Che Veal as well, who sometimes had some bit of savage cuts getting to flyweight.
Again, Che's the same. He's massive, and how he gets down, I don't know. But since working with Dean, my weight is a lot better than it used to be when I was at lightweight. And I know Shay's weight's a lot better as well. So it's looking like it's going to be an easy cut. Obviously, apart from in my amateur days when I didn't really know what I was doing and I've got a water load, just reading online how to do it and that. Yeah. But according to Dean, a good cut. I'm already walking lighter than what I used to. So yeah, it's looking good. And I can still eat within reason what I want. He hasn't really changed much of what I'm eating or anything. He's just being a bit more disciplined. And because he works with like some really good people, then I've got 100% faith in him and I trust what he says. And he's, a really nice guy.
Yeah, how much has it changed from the amateur days where you were just kind of doing things by trial and error?
It's funny, I was actually talking about it with a couple of guys this morning. Some of my early fight camps, when I went on like my 5-0 tear, some of them fight camps were just powered by trifle. I'd eat like 5 whole trifles in a week. Because of the sweet tooth, it's like, that'll be fine. I'll eat a trifle. I won't have no dinner. I'll literally just eat a whole Tesco value trifle. Looking back on it, it worked, but I wasn't exactly fueling my body with the right stuff. But being a bit more sensible now, I've just got good people around me the whole time, keeping me on track. The missus as well, like, it works because she enjoys eating healthy. I get home, the freezer and the fridge is just stocked of everything I need. So it's just not really having that temptation about. Now the hot weather's here, that's when it gets hard because the kids always want to go to the coast and everything. Then they're eating donuts and ice cream. And it's like, oh, I'll just have a protein bar.
It's so much harder when that temptation's around, isn't it?
yeah, definitely.
And when I was doing some research for this interview, I didn't realise you'd competed at the IMAF tournament in the past.
I didn't do the IMAF. I'd done the UK MMAF. I think they'd done it one year at Body Power. So it was UK MMAF and Bama Invitational. It was on the champion versus champion Bama card. So they done like a little tournament on the 2 days that Body Power ran. That was at lightweight, having to weigh in both days. So that was, I got my weight down pretty well for that. So I know that I can do it.
Hello? Oh, I think you're back.
Sorry about that, the phone went off. I know that my weight isn't an issue. I managed to get bronze at that. The way I looked at the amateur scene was just trying to get as much experience as I can. I think there was 1 month I fought like 3-4 times in 1 month. It was good fun.
You had like 16 amateur fights, didn't you?
Yeah, 60, all those amateur MMA, and then I had a couple of K1 and a boxing bout and things like that. But MMA is always where my main focus has been.
Yeah. And that, do you recommend that to like the amateurs coming through? Like a lot of them are so keen to turn pro, but you've then also got people like Mohamed Mokaev and Mahuddin Abu Bakr who just like are trying to get as many amateur fights under their belt.
That's how I think it should be. Yeah. Like, you want to try and iron out as many creases as you can in the amateurs to then start your pro career off the best you can. Like, you'll see, especially if you look in the IMASH now, and you've got like some of the Russian teams and that, there's people with like 20 plus amateur fights and they've got no thoughts whatsoever of turning pro. Like, why would you not want to be classed as the number one amateur? And if that means having to have 15, 20 amateur fights, why not? That's a hell of an achievement to have on your fighting CV.
Yeah.
If the IMAX were about when I was coming up, I definitely would have pushed for that.
And you're not going to get elbowed or kneed in the face while you're doing it.
Yeah. Not like some of the amateur shows before where they'd allow like knees to the head and things like that. Yeah, it's a lot safer now.
Yeah. So tell us where people can get tickets for Contenders, Scott, and tell us where it is and how people can get there and stuff.
Okay, so Contenders is at Epic Studios in Norwich. It's one of the best venues in Norwich, like full-on production. So much so that they ran like a wrestling program that was on ITV that was filmed in the same venue and things like that. Tickets can be from me. You can find me on Facebook. You've got my fighter profile, Super Scott Butters. You've got me, Scott Butters. Drop me a message. I'm dropping tickets. If you're local, I can post them out. That's no problem. Contenders is September 28th. It's guaranteed to be an electric night. We've got some of the best pros from both the UK and from abroad. I think the headlining act is the two Polish girls who are like number one and number two in Europe. So that's going to really kick off for the belt.
That's amazing. I'm absolutely gutted that I can't make it to this one.
I know you were saying that you really wanted to get down, but next one's going to be in November as well.
Do you know the date for that one yet?
I'm not 100% sure of the date, but I can find out and I'll drop you a message as soon as I know the date. If I'm right in thinking, they've got big plans for the November card as well. You'd have thought with everything that's going off ready for February, they'd start trying to take things a little bit easier towards the end of the year, but that's not happening. because around the gym, I'm hearing rumours about like a big sort of team event happening. So, it should be really good. And the guys that run Contenders, really nice guys, and they've always got the fighters' best interests at heart. It's not like some of the shows where you've got eight fights on the card. It's usually around about 15 fights, and each fighter gets their own time. You're walking out, you've got the big, massive LCD screens behind, and it is like you think you're a massive Cage Warriors, Bellator, something like that. I think I read somewhere that other than when UFC comes to England and Bellator, Contenders is like one of the highest production values out there. So I only really want to try and associate myself with the best shows, which is why Contenders is local to me. Cage Warriors Academy is local to me. Unlike in my amateur days where I wouldn't just fight on anything, just get the experience. But now it's, as a pro, you're almost your own brand, so you've got to sell yourself, try and get that way to the top. So if I can get on the better shows, it should hopefully, touch wood, get to the top. But with my management as well, Almighty Fight Management, they've got guys on some of the biggest shows in the UK and Europe as well. So it makes it a little bit easier knowing I've only got to worry about punching people in the face and not worrying about everything that goes behind.
I know quite a few people who fought on the Contenders shows and they all speak really highly of the way they're treated as fighters as well. So that's always good to hear as a consumer. I know the last time you fought at Contenders, you've had a lot of good nights there, but the last one was unlucky for you where you It was a bit of a hectic week in general, wasn't it, with your
My coach was taken ill about an hour before I was due to fight.
What does that do to your head?
As much as I was trying not to think about it, I was more worried about, is he all right? Is he going to be okay? Yeah. This, that, and the other. And I had to literally be taken away from the whole scenario and taken, not even to the back rooms. I was literally taken downstairs, out, away, trying to compose myself and everything. And then literally not even halfway through the first round, my blooming shoulder goes and a fractured shoulder. And it's like, oh, God, this isn't a good night.
So he was fine though in the end, right?
Yeah, he was fine. He spent, I think he was 24 hours in hospital just to make sure he was all right. But yeah, he's good now. And he'll be there with me again, same as he has been through my amateur fights. So.
But the recovery for you was even longer.
Yeah, recovery was long. It was hard. It was because my body wanted to do everything, but the shoulder was just not letting me. It took a lot of people to say, look, you need to slow down and do this properly. But with doing that, it gave me time to sit down and research things. And I found some crazy Russian drug that I was taking. And that helped speed up the rehabilitation. And the first time I went back to the physio, I started moving my shoulder. And she's like, how can you move your arm and your shoulder like that? How is it? I said, I don't know. I just rub this stuff on my shoulder. I take 2 teaspoons a day. And now I've got basically full movement back in my shoulder within a couple of weeks. Then it was just strengthening it all back. And I think within 3 months, I was back lifting heavier than what I was before the injury. So
that's unreal.
Yeah. But my whole career has just been plagued with injuries.
Yeah.
6 years I've been training injuries, so a bit annoying, but the way I look at it, everything happens for a reason. Someone out there's got bigger plans for me.
Yeah. Is that how you deal with the frustration? Just keep telling yourself that and just keep on, I guess.
Yeah, definitely. And while I can't train, it gives me more time to spend with the family as well. So every cloud has a silver lining. When I can't train as much as I like to, I still get to be with the family. I get to spend more time with them.
Yeah.
Which up until recent, maybe the last camp with Craig, I then cut down my work to being part-time, which gave me more time to train and more time to be with the kids. After this fight, I'm now starting as a full-time PT in a gym as well. So that's no more scaffolding. Should hopefully mean more time for myself in the gym, more time for the family, more time for training. That being said, as scaffolders, we do pretty well. Jai Herbert, he's a scaffolder. Scott Malone from up Scotland, he was a scaffolder. So
yep.
it's not a bad backup job to have.
No, it's not bad, but it must be just something else that you've got to juggle. And
yeah.
No, with the PT work, at least you're already in the gym and can exactly. Try and fit it around your own training.
Yeah, 100%. It just means that even in between clients, quick session in, I can get a quick cardio blast on the bikes, on the running machines.
Yeah.
Plus it's one step closer to being, in my opinion, as that sort of full-time athlete where I'm in the gym whenever I want to be. And it also sets up for later on down the line when I feel I can't compete at that level I want to anymore. I can still be around it and give back to other people. Hence why I got involved with Elite Gym. We've got a lot of guys coming up and it's good for me to be able to give back to them.
Well, I know you've been stuck inside for ages now, so I'm going to let you go because you had a PT session just before this. So I'll let you go out and enjoy probably the last rays of the English summer.
Yeah, no doubt. It doesn't usually happen like this, does it? Usually bank holidays are raining and then for me, when it's during the week and I'm at work, that's usually when it's nice. And on the weekend, I get the time off easy rain. So
yeah,
appreciate your time, Katie, and appreciate you giving me the exposure for this interview.
No, thank you so much for doing it. And stay healthy, keep fit. And I can't wait to hear how you get on the 28th of September.
Cheers, Katie.
Great speaking to you, Scott. Thank you.
See you later. Bye-bye.